97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Wednesday morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. A little bit of rain outside, and I think we might have seen the last of our 70-degree weather for the year yesterday. It was just absolutely gorgeous.
It was amazing. Wasn't last Christmas when we had temperatures in the 60s or even low 70s? One of these recent Christmases, it was, really crazy warm, to the point where I was almost sad about it, because if it's not going to snow, I feel like it should at least be cold. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do.
I feel like the kids were all playing. Oh, thanks, Carl. We're all playing outside. Last Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very
thank
nice,
you. It
girl.
Was,
wow.
It was last Christmas.
It doesn't count until
I was
Thanksgiving.
Waiting.
I'm still not ready for that. I'll just have to tell you, not ready for Christmas yet. My wife wants me to put up the Christmas decorations this weekend. Like, she wanted me to do it yesterday, but I had something else going on, and I missed the most beautiful day of November to do that. I'll just have to tell you. So now I'm going to have to do it in the cold. But I had a good reason. Let me tell you. Let me brag about my little girl for just a minute. Can I just do this? My baby is 17 years old now. She's not a baby anymore, and she started a Students for Life club at her school. And obviously, they're reacting to what happened with Amendment 3. The kids who are part of this group are upset that this abortion amendment, constitutional amendment, passed. So instead of just retreating within themselves, they decided to hold a diaper drive for women's shelters to help to show assistance to people who chose life. And yesterday, I at 3 o'clock met her at her school. We filled up my pickup truck. We filled up the bed of it. We filled up the back seat of it. We filled up the front seat of it. We filled up her car, which is a small SUV, with probably, I don't know, 150 boxes of diapers that people had contributed at her school. And we took them down to Our Lady's Inn in off South Compton in the city and dropped them off. And the lady said to me yesterday, as I was beaming with pride of what my daughter had done, she said, you know, I just went to our storage unit yesterday where we keep our supplies, and I noticed how few diapers we had left. And she said, but God provides. And at that, I just couldn't have been more proud of my little girl at that moment. She didn't collect every single one of those diapers, but she started the club, and she helped get this thing rolling, and then she and I delivered them. So that's what I did on my beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
That's probably the best way you could have spent the day. That is so cool. That makes me tear up, because I know that was probably really hard for Ginger to do, because I'm sure her friends, even at school, were giving her some pushback.
Yes.
And, you know, there's so many people who are the pro-choicers, the pro-abortion crowd, and they're saying, you pro-lifers, you never do anything to support the women who choose life. You expect them to have their babies, and then you just basically leave them, you know, you abandon them. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. And I think it's things like that, the diaper drive that a high schooler is putting on, or a group of high schoolers are putting on, that it just shows we do care. We are doing things to help these moms who choose life. They're not just left high and dry.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty proud that she did that, and you know, we'll see what's next. But I think it taught her an important lesson, and the folks down there were so thankful that they did that. So enough bragging on my baby, but that's how I spent my last beautiful afternoon of November. So now when I'm up hanging Christmas lights, I'm going to be freezing my rear end off. Let's just put it that way.
So now, yesterday we were talking about Santa, but your wife doesn't think that Santa's classy enough. Did you win the debate?
I didn't even have time to address that yesterday. But a lot of people online are telling me my Santa might be a collector's item. So I'm still going to make the argument that we should put it out there. We'll see. I'll probably lose. That's okay. That's okay. I'll just to keep the peace. I'll probably leave Santa in storage this year, but I haven't given up. I'm not going to abandon Santa just yet. All right, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about, did you hear what one mayor has done now, declared her city a sanctuary city to try to defy the deportation of criminal illegals. We're going to get to that for you this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. While we're talking about illegals, there was a hearing yesterday on what's happened to all these migrant children. That and some shocking allegations of how the Biden administration handled all that. I got an interview on that for you coming up later in the 8 o'clock hour. We are going to give away some more tickets to Guns and Hoses today. So stand by for that. We're going to give away another pair. I've also found out that there are some tickets left. I know the tickets are becoming more scarce for this because it's coming up next week. But there are tickets left, I understand, at the hair salon. Certain locations still have tickets. You can walk in and buy general admission tickets at the hair salon. So a shout out to them. Just call your store before you go to make sure that they're one of the locations that still has tickets if you're looking to get some for that. But we're going to give away another pair a little later today. So, Carl, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
A global conflict between nuclear-armed powers would mean death and destruction on a scale unmatched in human history. It would be nuclear Armageddon.
Yeah, I don't blame President Trump for being... He should be angry. He should be pissed off at Joe Biden for what he's done in the Ukraine. Biden is so intent on continuing his war that he may have just pushed us a little closer to nuclear war with Russia. I hope not. But if I'm Donald Trump, I'm like, why would you box me in like that?
The fear and terror is real, not just among top DOJ officials, including Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team. We could talk about his being a flight risk.
Yeah, that's Julie Kelly. She tells Steve Bannon yesterday that she thinks Jack Smith might try to flee the country in fear before Donald Trump takes over the Department of Justice.
A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman. That said, I also believe that we treat everybody with dignity.
I believe Speaker Johnson has set that straight yesterday when asking about some new member of Congress who happens to be a dude who thinks he's a girl and wants to use the girl's bathroom. I'm not sure they're going to let that happen.
More than 1,500 people have been charged in nearly every state for crimes related to the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021.
Yes, Johnny. Yes, they've now set up a commission to work on pardons for the people who have been politically persecuted from January 6th. And I could not be any happier. That so far is the highlight of the Trump win on November 5th, in my opinion. The fact that that wrong is going to be righted makes me very happy. And I said it yesterday and I'll say it again today. If there is video proof of somebody striking a police officer or causing violent damage, okay, I understand. They should be charged with something. But for the people who, I would argue for, what was the guy's name? Jacob, the guy with the horns? For the guy that walked through peacefully, accompanied by a police officer, we saw the videotape. We saw the tape. Tucker released it. He's offering to assist the officers. He goes in. He's looking around. He walks back out. Didn't harm anybody. This guy spent 2 years almost in jail before they let him go. These people deserve to be pardoned. They didn't do anything wrong. And certainly nothing that required jail time. If trespassing is a misdemeanor, if they didn't cause violence, they shouldn't still be criminally charged in this case or have this hanging over their heads. And like Wiggins said yesterday, the one guy... Jake Lang has been languishing in jail for 4 years now, without even a trial.
Well, that would mean that, let's just say that Trump would pardon him, a lawsuit would be coming because that would be a violation of his constitutional rights. He did not have, you know, a speedy trial. 4 years is ridiculous.
Well, it's a slap in the face to the Constitution is what it is. And I love the fact that that they're looking in, at least looking into it, because every case is different. I'm going to get to more on this for you here in a minute. I'm running up against a need to get to a break here, but I want you to hear from the guy who's working on this Pardon 47 group, who admits each case is different, but he's hoping to have a list ready for the president when he takes office. Like the day he's sworn in, he's hoping to have a list ready for the White House of who he believes deserves a pardon in this case. I'll get to that for you coming up in just a few minutes. Carl, who's got our national anthem? This is day two of a request,
right? As a request, someone emailed me, carl.middleman@odyssey.com, with a request for Meatloaf.
New tonight, another Missouri man learning his fate after participating in the January 6th riots. Kyler Bard has been sentenced to just over a year in prison, 2 years on parole, and has to pay a $2,000 fine. Bard joins over 1,000 people who have been sentenced following the riot, including some people from the St. Louis region. But now those people could be pardoned following a campaign promise from President-elect Donald Trump.
More than 1,500 people have been charged in nearly every state for crimes related to the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. But once President-elect Donald Trump takes office, those facing legal challenges could be pardoned.
Could be pardoned. And then they had to go out and find some former Missouri Supreme Court judge to basically criticize the thought of these people being pardoned. I mean, we've seen some bad pardons over the years from Bill Clinton with that rich guy that he pardoned, and last name is Rich. I can't remember his first name. There have been some bad pardons. I suspect Hunter Biden will be pardoned before this Biden administration is over with. These are not bad pardons. They're going to look individually at these cases. They're not saying every single person is going to be pardoned. But this is why they're so nervous at the Department of Justice. They're nervous at a Matt Gaetz or someone like him who understands the Democrat Party was doing exactly what it accused Donald Trump of wanting to do, which is using the DOJ as a tool to prosecute its enemies. And they perceived everybody at January 6th as their enemy. And they tried to put them in jail for as long as they could. And it was wrong. Go to cut 11 for us, Carl, please. This is Derek Myers.
It really boils down to restoring justice to those that have been political prisoners or hostages.
Derek Myers is the founder of a group called Pardon 47, a group vetting the viability of pardons for many who were involved in January 6th. But Myers says those accused of violent crimes may not be eligible.
Each case needs to be a case-by-case basis, and anybody who harmed a law enforcement officer will have to be really scrutinized to see if they are worthy of it.
Like 27-year-old Kyler Joseph Bard from Southwest Missouri, who this week was sentenced to 12 months and one day in prison, 2 years of parole, and ordered to pay a $2,000 fine. According to the Department of Justice, Bard assaulted a police officer during the January 6, 2021 breach on the Capitol.
Yeah. I was listening to the content of that, but that reporter's voice is so annoying. Is she like holding her nose while she talks? I know, people are annoying.
No comment.
I don't know who she was.
I don't either. Although it did also awful. It also sounded like she was in a tin can.
That was awful. That audio was awful. I'm sorry. I'm not blaming Carl. It's just whoever
No, I blame Carl.
If I was a news director,
I tried to make it sound as horrible as possible.
Would not that individual.
You commonly distort videos and audio, right, Carl?
No.
It's my job.
No. But yeah, former Missouri Supreme Court Judge Mike Wolf, they got him on there as well. And I'll play that bite for you a little later. But basically, he's like, well, a president can pardon anybody they want for any reason. But they're supposed to. It's supposed to happen years after they've served their sentence. Well, not if it's wrong. It should happen now. And a lot of these people need to be released. Not all of them, but a lot. 1,000 people. They've convicted 1,000 people. for what a handful of people did on January 6th wrong, and the other 250,000 who were there who didn't do anything wrong were all labeled as insurrectionists by the left in this country. You can't hate the mainstream media enough for selling you Democrat talking points for the last 4 years. It's all been a lie. All right, we'll come back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, I don't know if you've been following this trial that's going on right now. This is the trial of Jose Ibarra. He is the man, the illegal alien, who is accused of brutally murdering Lake and Riley on February 22nd. That is a name we should all know by now.
Yeah.
The state rested its case yesterday, and Jose Ibarra's brother is expected to testify today. But there's been some really interesting stuff, kind of shocking stuff that's come out in the trial so far. And I want to play some of this audio for you. And I want to warn you that the person you're going to hear testifying is Jose's roommate. And I guess he does not speak English. So there is a translator. So you kind of hear a bit of a delay as the translator's trying to relay what they're saying about how they ended up in Georgia and some of the places, the places where they were staying. Listen.
And how did you get to Athens?
¿Y cómo llegaron a Athens?
Por en Nueva York pedimos en Manhattan.
In New York, we asked in Manhattan.
En el Hotel Roosevelt.
And Hotel Roofing?
Roosevelt. De Manhattan pedimos un vuelo humanitario aquí hasta Atlanta.
In Manhattan, we requested for a humanitarian flight to come here to Atlanta.
All right, let me just go through what you just heard right now. First of all, he's saying that they stayed at the Roosevelt Hotel. Guys, in New York City, that's a 4-star hotel that they were staying at on the taxpayers' dime.
Doesn't that make you feel great?
It makes me feel great, especially when you learn that they requested, as if it's like, you know what? Plane, I need a plane here. Send my humanitarian plane here. Okay, so they had a taxpayer-funded plane ride from New York to Athens, Georgia. And I don't even know why he wanted to go to Athens, Georgia. But anyway, this illegal ends up in Athens. And that's, of course, when this whole thing happens where Lakin, who was a University of Georgia student, just to kind of rehash what happened, she goes for a run. She was an avid runner. And she goes on one of these trails on the campus. And this guy, Jose Ibarra, was supposedly hunting for females. That's what's come out. He was hunting for females, sees her, allegedly hits her over the head multiple times with a rock, tries to rape her, and then she sadly ends up dying. And they've you know, revealed some of the evidence. They're saying they found a rock that had both her DNA on it and his. They found gloves in a dumpster that had both of their DNA. There was a clear struggle. They found his DNA, I believe it was, under her fingernails. So that was indicative of her fighting for her life.
Right.
And what gives me chills when I say this is she had one of those smart watches on. And the smart watch detected supposedly the exact minute that her heart stopped. Because the deputy found her and she had not yet died. She was he was doing chest compressions trying to save her, and it was too late at that point. This is not a jury trial. He didn't want a jury, so this is a judge presiding over the case. Like I mentioned, it sounds like his brother, Jose Ibarra's brother, is going to be testifying today. But keep in mind, Ibarra had already been arrested multiple times and released. He came into the country illegally. He was arrested in 2022. He was paroled and released for further processing. Then in New York City, he was arrested again in September of 2023 and charged with acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17 and a motor vehicle license violation. Well, guess what? He was released before a detainer could be issued.
Was this in New York or
this was in New York?
Probably not in Georgia. Georgia's not that lax on criminal prosecutions.
No, I would imagine that after his arrest in New York, which again was in September of 2023, I would imagine that shortly thereafter he requested the humanitarian plane to go to Georgia, Athens, Georgia, the University of Georgia campus, which is where this all happened in February of this year. I mean, these are things that are preventable. You have mayors in these big cities like Boston, Michelle Wu. You have Los Angeles is now saying we're a sanctuary city. That just happened in the last little bit. They're talking about how they're going to defy President Trump, President-elect Trump's orders to deport all of these illegals. Why are we acting like these people need to be catered to? I heard Michelle Wu, that's the Boston mayor. She was doing some interview with some local affiliate, and she's talking about Americans. I'm like, they're not Americans. They're illegals. AOC has said the same thing. We got to protect fellow Americans. Guys, they're not fellow Americans. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir that all of you, hopefully all of you, are in agreement that these people need to leave. But these are crimes that are preventable, just like the situation here with the police officer right on the side of I-70 and that illegal who was drunk at like 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning hit him and killed him, right?
Right.
It's just ridiculous. And I cannot believe that he was staying at the Roosevelt Hotel and then got a taxpayer-funded plane ride. Please go Google pictures of the Roosevelt Hotel and see the living accommodations because, wow, wouldn't some homeless veterans here, or I'm sorry, the unhoused, as you hear the media call them now, wouldn't they love to stay there without having to pay a single cent?
It's what you're watching are the death throes of the liberal left in this country. Like what Michelle Wu said, what the mayor of LA said, what these others have said about sanctuary cities and protecting these illegal criminals. They don't want to delineate between criminals and people who maybe actually deserve to flee from a dangerous situation. America's been so generous about that over the years, of taking people who are fleeing war zones and taking them in and providing amnesty for those folks. But that's completely different. We've got millions of people who are convicted criminals who shouldn't be in this country. And the voters spoke so loudly on this on November 5th. I think that was a top reason that people voted Donald Trump in, because he promised, I'm going to get rid of this. I value your life as a United States taxpaying citizen, as somebody who was born here, over the life of these criminals. Mm-hmm. And the liberal left, and the insane liberal left in this country, does not. AOC is at the top of the ladder. And these mayors in these cities who think they're going to be able to do something to stop this. I got some bad news for you. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. You can't. Local law, state law, doesn't trump the U.S. Constitution. It just doesn't. You can't protect criminals. They can bring in federal troops if they need to and arrest these people. And my guess is your police officers will be just fine with that, because these are the criminal element they've been dealing with, and their local justice system won't prosecute them.
Yeah, and a lot of these ICE agents have probably been sitting, twiddling their thumbs, not able to actually do the job that they've been hired to do. Same with these border agents who were just sitting at the border watching, I mean, millions of people over several days, weeks, months pouring over our border and having their hands basically tied, not able to do anything. And I think, you know, I've heard how morale has really been boosted specifically at the border when Trump was elected. People feeling like, wow, like this is a breath of fresh air that we can finally do the job that we're supposed to be doing here to protect our country. And these mayors who are trying to stand in Trump's way are going to have their butts whooped. I hope that they do. That's ridiculous. And a lot of these cops are probably who are told you're not allowed to help them to do this job to get these illegals out are probably going to be secretly like, psh, psh, over here. They're over there. Yeah. Like, you know that they're I'm assuming a lot of them want these people gone, too. Because they have to waste resources, just like the St. Louis Police Department did, tracking down drunk illegals who never should have been here in the first place.
Yeah, when a little later we'll play that soundbite from Julie Kelly, who was on with Bannon yesterday, who pointed out that there's fear within the DOJ among these people who know what they were doing was ultra constitutional in persecuting political opponents of the party in charge. And they know that their career time is probably coming to an end when Trump takes office. Mm-hmm. And they'll scream and rant and rave, and Biden can do all he wants at the last minute to try to protect their jobs. But it's not going to do any good. Mm-hmm. And that's why somebody asked me this yesterday. Why do you like the idea of Matt Gaetz as the Attorney General? I'm like, because this is what these people fear. They're not afraid of Matt Gaetz not having the ability to do the job. They're scared that Matt Gaetz will clean house. That's what they're afraid of. They want somebody in there who will be a marshmallow and talk a big game and then not accomplish anything over 4 years. That would not be Matt Gaetz's approach to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else you hear about Gaetz is just noise.
Yeah. And when you talk about doing the job they're supposed to be doing and what Matt Gaetz would do, I mean, I think back, just kind of circling back to the whole Jose Ibarra thing, the accused killer in Lakin Riley's case, he's not facing the death penalty. It's life in prison without the possibility of parole. Help me understand why he would not be facing the death penalty.
I don't know.
That is infuriating to me.
And again, the result, the direct result of what people just rejected. That soft on criminal approach. Hell, they rejected it in California. They overturned that law where you could shoplift something up to $900 and not be in trouble for it because criminals were going in and cleaning off the shelves in Walgreens and walking out with whatever they wanted.
Yeah, and then Kamala Harris was asked how she voted on that, and even as a presidential candidate, she wouldn't say, yet she talked a big game saying, oh, I'm going to be tough on criminals.
Never tough on criminals. I'll let you hear that bite from Julie Kelly coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get to more. I think it's very important that people understand what the real concern is here going forward, and whether there will anything will get done. That seems to be the focus of the media right now. Well, Donald Trump claims he's going to do this, but what did he do the first time around? That was the tone of the report I heard this morning. In fact, we'll get to that and more coming up in just a minute.
I think it's legitimate. I've talked to people who are closer to DOJ than I am who say that the fear and terror is real, not just among top DOJ officials, including Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team. We could talk about his being a flight risk and leaving, as Mark Zayed is recommending top targets to flee the country around Inauguration Day. Just crazy talk. But that even lying prosecutors are terrified that they are going to be investigated, which they should, for violating the 1A, 4A, 5A, 6A, 8A constitutional rights of January 6th defendants conspiring with the FBI and federal judges to deny due process to Americans, most the overwhelming majority of whom had no criminal record, committed no crime, but nonetheless had their lives destroyed at the hands of this bloodthirsty DOJ led by Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, and of course the D.C. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves.
Yes, the fear is real, and they're going to turn the tables on the vengeful DOJ in America. We've talked about this double standard for justice. It's absolutely true, right? And this Alvin Bragg in New York, I mean, is there any chance that guy's gone in 4 years? Trying to withhold these, hold these charges or the convictions for 4 years so that you can come back after Donald Trump's out of office in 4 years and somehow put him, an 82-year-old man, in jail for charges you cooked up that aren't even real, that nobody's ever been charged with before, where there was no victim? I mean, this is the kind of thing that people responded to in this election. I want to go back to something Julie Kelly said there, right? And I thought it was important. She's a contributor, by the way, to American Greatness, if you haven't ever heard from her before, but I thought she made a great point. They're terrified they're going to be investigated for violating the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, and the Eighth Amendment constitutional rights for these January 6th defendants. That's a lot to look at, but I think it's absolutely true. She said, the fear is real. It's gratifying to see the tables turn on this vengeful DOJ, which destroyed so many lives over the past 4 years. I'm sure they're shocked. She says, I was in court leading up to Election Day, seeing how they were treating J6ers. There's no indication they thought for a minute Donald Trump would win with that the January 6th, what they called Capitol siege investigation, would end, that pardons would take place, and that furthermore, the tables would be turned and the hunters would become the hunted. They engaged career prosecutors, part of the deep state and the DOJ, and assigned them to go after the these people and seek them out around the country. If they visited January 6th, they visited D.C. and were in the crowd and said they were even going to go after people who didn't enter the building. That's how far they were going to carry this. Under the vengeful watch, all hatched by one Nancy Pelosi. And that's a shame. I mean, it really is. You got to think of the depths to which we have fallen in this country when it comes to justice, that they could get away with doing this to 1,000 people the last 4 years. Considering the fact that the people in Black Lives Matter burned major cities. They occupied downtown Portland. And none of them are in jail. None of them. It's outrageous what we allowed to happen in this country. It angers me to think about that. That all of those people who burned down 7-Elevens and they almost all of them got away with it. If even a handful of them were convicted of something, it's still a travesty of justice that 1,000 people have been prosecuted for what happened on January 6th, and a handful of people were prosecuted, and many of them probably given a slap on the wrist for trying to burn down major cities during the BLM riots. Americans are sick of it. They spoke on November 5th, I should say, and justice is coming. Not soon enough. We're going to be back in the next hour. We'll give away a pair of Guns and Hoses tickets. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.